talk about our health. It turns out the key to losing weight and keeping it off is not carbs or fat or even probiotic-rich foods. No, the end game of having healthy weight as well as more energy and long, healthy life comes down to a specific switch you can flip in your body to flush out unnecessary calories. Dr. Stephen Gundry is calling this caloric bypass. And by activating this specific process in your body, he has seen thousands, yes, thousands of people dramatically improve their health, even at age 50 and beyond. This includes losing weight, getting tons more energy, and returning to the good health they had in their youth once they simply addressed this one key to better health. Not only that, this is actually associated with improved digestion, strong feeling joints and muscles, smoother skin, and healthier lives, meaning it could be the key to a happy life. Dr. Stephen Gundry has lost 70 pounds himself using his research and has kept the weight off for over 20 years and counting. His digestive issues are gone, his health is fantastic, and he feels younger and healthier today than he did in his 40s. His video has been watched by over 20 million people to date, and you can watch and learn about it at thehealthyfat.com/X22. It's linked at the bottom of the video, but he'll teach you exactly how he has kept his weight off for free at thehealthyfat.com/X22. So just click on the link in the description below the video. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Roger Stone. You can find Roger's work on Rumble, it's Stone Zone, or you can listen to his radio show on WABC Radio, and that is Sundays from 3 to 6 p.m. And I am very happy to have Roger back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Roger, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Great to be back on X22.
I'm very, very happy to have you back here, and I have to say, you're the most well-dressed man I've ever seen in my life. I mean, every time I see you, every time you come on, you're just very well-dressed. And I like that. We should all go back to that time when everyone got dressed up.
You know, if you read my book, Stone's Rules, I have one basic rule. Look good, feel good. So here we are.
That's an incredible rule. All right, let's just start out with Kamala Harris's campaign here, because we all know now that, you know, they remove Biden. It was a coup, and they brought in Kamala Harris. And what's very interesting is that we have Obama, Clinton, musicians, actors. I mean, they're bringing out everyone to campaign for her. And in the very, very beginning, they had her poll numbers, like, you know, off the charts, like she was, you know, the second coming. What do you make of her campaign right now with what's going on?
I have to be honest with you. I think it's a shambles. You know, in politics, you have to have a rationale for your election. Why should people vote for you? Well, in the case of Donald Trump, it's kind of obvious. You're voting for a return to the policies that brought us unprecedented peace and prosperity, energy independence, low inflation, more affordable housing, more job opportunities. She has an impossible task in the sense that, on the one hand, she presents herself to us as a change agent. You know, we're going to go in a new direction. At the same time, she admits, as recently as last night, that there's nothing different that she would do than what Biden has done and therefore what Biden is doing. So it's tough to have it both ways. She can't talk about inflation. She can't talk about gas prices. She can't talk really about job creation, because every time the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out the jobs for each quarter, they have to wait a few weeks and then they have to correct them. Meaning the first time they lie, the second time they tell you the truth. So in the previous quarter, they told us there's 818,000 new jobs created. Then a couple weeks go by, they say, well, it was closer to 600,000. Then they say, well, those weren't really full-time jobs. Those were only part-time jobs. The truth is, Americans are working fewer hours per day than ever before. Can't run on that. So what do we run on? Trump is Hitler. Trump is Hitler. Yeah. There's our message. Trump is Hitler. He's going to use the military to attack and oppose those who oppose him and those who disagree with him. And she says that in the same week that the Department of Defense in the Harris Biden administration issues Directive 5240.01. I've read this thing three times And there's no doubt about it. It does two very scary things. For the first time ever, it authorizes the use of lethal force against American citizens, and it also authorizes them to spy on us, to surveil American citizens. This is unprecedented. It's just another example that everything they say we are doing, it always turns out to be exactly what they are doing. A couple weeks ago, a video surfaced of a speech that I gave in Jacksonville to the Jacksonville Young Republicans. In that speech, I said, I think there's a million non-existent voters on the voter rolls in the swing states, and that they need to be legally, keyword, legally removed. Headline in the New Republic: Stone would disenfranchise 1 million Kamala voters. It's not what I said. It's not even close to what I said. So they're really shameless. A couple weeks ago, The Atlantic had a headline in which they accused me, because I watched the so-called documents case in Florida, mm-hmm. and I read all of the filings by both sides. After I read them, I predicted that the judge would ultimately rule that Special Counsel Jack Smith's appointment was unconstitutional. They immediately attacked me for fixing the judge. I've never talked to the judge. I never communicated with the judge. I've never met the judge. I've never even seen the judge. I can read. My conclusion was based on the fact that I can read. So it's one constant war of distortion. And the most important is The Atlantic is the mouthpiece for the deep state. Anything they say will give you an idea in advance of what they have in mind. And last point, notice this drumbeat of Trump's supporters are going to become violent. They're going to become violent when he doesn't win. They're setting us up. Not quite sure what they're setting us up for, but they're setting us up.
And I agree with you. I think they are setting us up. I mean, they're starting with the Hitler references, like you said. I mean, I don't think this is going to sway the MAGA voters. Like, oh my God, he's Hitler. I mean, I don't think the MAGA voters are going to say, oh, we're not voting for him. So the only thing I can think of, and the only reason they would say something like this, is number one, try to get the crazies out there to try to assassinate him again. Number two, just like you said, get the crazies out there to have violence. So, I mean, when you say violence, are you saying violence before the election? Are you saying during or after the election?
I think after. So candidly, I'm more concerned. I'm not concerned about the period between now and election day.
Okay.
I think we are doing a phenomenal job of getting out our vote, studying all of these early vote statistics in places like Florida and Arizona, for example. We're easily outpacing where we historically have been. The folks on the ground in Pennsylvania, Cliff Maloney and Scott Pressler, Turning Point people, they've done a phenomenal job. From day one, they said, look, if we get one third of the mail-in votes, meaning if one third of those who mail in votes are registered Republicans, that would be a phenomenal accomplishment based on history. They usually blow us out, you know, 90-10, 80-20 in the mail-in voters. We hit one third right on the nose. Mm. This is, and it's done now. I mean, they have to be, you know, they have to be mailed in. So we're really very far ahead of where we were in 2016 or 2020. The signs are very good. So the question to me is not will Donald Trump get more votes on Election Day than Kamala Harris? Yes, both I think in the popular vote now, which it looks to me like it's going to be a blowout, and in the Electoral College. Now the question is, will they fail to certify his election? Hmm. They already laid the groundwork for doing that. Joe Biden, several weeks ago, signed an executive order that said that the FBI director, the CIA director, the director of Homeland Security, you know, all the people we love,
yeah.
that they will make an assessment of whether there has been a certain level of foreign interference in the election, and they'll make a filing with the president and with the Congress with their conclusions. So you add that to the fact that they're now authorized to fire on American citizens. And then Attorney General Merrick Garland announces several weeks ago, anyone who interferes with the election process on election day will be prosecuted. What constitutes interference? Asking questions? I mean, if you ask a question here in Florida, if you ask the same Board of Elections official a question twice, and they'll say they don't answer your question the first time, so you ask it a second time, they will arrest you. That is a felony. That is somehow harassing an election official. By the way, that is a law pushed by the Republicans and signed by Ron DeSantis. Unbelievable.
Wow.
I actually saw a woman in Palm Beach, totally peacefully, tried to ask a question, didn't get an answer, asked the question again, dragged out of the meeting and arrested by two deputy sheriffs. So that's what we're looking at. And then he also said several days later, Attorney General Garland said, anyone who attempts to interfere with the certification of the election on January 6th will be prosecuted. Well, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I've been around a long time. I've read the Electoral College Act. No, there's just no such thing as a fake elector. That's no such thing. Mm-hmm. In 1960, a very close race, it was thought on election night that Vice President Richard Nixon had carried Hawaii. But the Kennedy people didn't think so, and John Kennedy's supporters filed an alternative slate of electors because they believed that when all the absentee ballots came in, that JFK would carry Hawaii. And that's exactly what happened. So Nixon's electors were decertified. The Kennedy alternative slate that he had formed to protect his legal interests was seated. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was charged with a crime. So this idea that you form a slate of alternative electors to protect yourself legally while you have litigation pending so that if you win, the electors are constituted and can be recognized. Nothing radical or illegal about that, but they've made that a crime. So these things lead me up to a conclusion that my real concern is not winning the election. I think we are going to win the election closer than people think, but whether they will in the end let him become president. Jamie Raskin, one of the great scumbags of all time, He's already admitted that, it doesn't matter to us whether Trump wins or not. We're simply not going to certify his election. He says it right there in videotape.
So let me just start off with this. You mentioned early voting, and then we'll get into winning the election. You mentioned early voting, and people are a little confused about early voting because as Republicans, conservatives, you know, we always went to the polls on election day, and then all of a sudden everyone's saying, hey, you know what? You got to go out there and vote early. And people were confused. Well, if you vote early, isn't that like the cheating? Isn't that what the Democrats do? So why all of a sudden was there a change of heart where they wanted people to vote early?
Number one, I think they want to bank the votes. They want to make sure they're in. Secondarily, it does give you a reading of how things are going. Now, I intend to vote on election day myself. In many of these places, early voting is made difficult. You can't believe how many people contact me and say, I went down to try to early vote. The line was too long. They made us stand outside in the heat. It's been very hot here. Some of the senior citizens just couldn't take it. After about 45 minutes, they got up and left. Will they come back on election day? I don't know. I think we need to both early vote and we need to vote on election day. What has more traditionally happened, this is conjecture on my part, but kind of logical, is they get the machine totals on election night and they realize how short they are. Then they just go out and print up the ballots necessary to make up the gap. Then they, as they did in Detroit, they throw the Republican observers out. Actually, they have the Detroit police escort them out, pull them out. Then they lock the doors, cover the windows, lock the doors, and they dump their 300,000 paper ballots. So the machines, while the machines are a problem, and while I'm suspicious of the machines in several regards, they use the machines to try to figure out how many more votes they need to try to tip the election. The early voting, I think, helps us kind of know where we are. And on the basis of early voting, you know, we're looking pretty strong.
Since we have the early voting and it hopefully will make it difficult for them to create those ballots that they need, we have Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania. They're all reporting that there's going to be delays. You know, it's very difficult to open up those envelopes. It's very difficult to count the votes. I mean, they're making all these, I mean, I guess they have monkeys there working. I don't understand. They're saying there's going to be delays anywhere from 5 to 13 days.
Yeah, it's interesting how we've never seen this before prior to the last election. I mean, if France, they were talking about the French, they can count 38 million paper ballots in one day and have it done by election night, then why couldn't we do that? Of course we could. No, I think the longer it goes, the more likely that they are maneuvering to find some way to flip the election. That I think that's pretty clear. This idea that that the three secretaries of state, I think it's Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, have decided to coordinate, to me, that sounds like a conspiracy. That's what that sounds like. That sounds like collusion. We're also familiar with their refusal. You see this in Virginia. You see it in Arizona, for example. You see it in Michigan, particularly. The Secretary of State of Michigan, she's a criminal. I mean, there's just no way around it. They refuse to take people who they know are not eligible to vote off the rolls. What justification going into court would you have to do that? Virginia, for example, has now for, I think, almost 10 years, has had a practice of removing people they can't locate, people who they can't document as being eligible from the rolls. Governor Youngkin does that. It's about 200,000 people, as I understand it. And the Department of Justice sues him for removing people who are ineligible from the rolls. And their argument is ludicrous. Their argument is you can't do this because it's too close to the election. Well, think about this. If you're ineligible, the day before the election, just like you're ineligible 3 weeks from the election. What difference does it make when you are removed? If it is ascertained with certainty that a voter is dead, then they should be removed from the rolls. The reason they don't want to remove them from the rolls is they use those names and addresses to apply for mail-in ballots. This is one of the great disgraces of this Justice Department. They're just running cover for the Kamala Harris campaign.
Now, with the ballots and them creating it and delaying the election, I remember Trump saying, I think he's said this multiple times, you know, that let's make the election too big to rig. He said at some point it will be too big to rig. So do you think we have enough people to actually make it impossible for them to create the ballots that they need? Going back to 2016, what do you have, like 70, 80 million people behind him? Do you think that number has increased dramatically? And do you think we have enough right now to do this?
I'm not sure whether we have enough to prevent them from attempting once again to heist the election. However, the bigger we win, the less credible what they intend to do is. And therefore, the concept of making it too big to rig or to beat the cheat, I think it's worthwhile. That's why every single vote counts. I'm in Florida. Everybody here thinks Florida's in the bank. It's a done deal. I mean, you know, Trump's going to win comfortably here. I don't believe that. I do think he's going to win here. But there are two constitutional amendments on the ballot, one of them having to do with the legalization of marijuana, the other one having to do with revising the state's abortion law. The Republicans and Ron DeSantis passed a law saying that you could not have an abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy This was an attempt by DeSantis to get to the right of Donald Trump in Iowa to try to attract the evangelical Christian vote. It didn't work, but many people I know, like myself, who are pro-life, thinks 6 weeks is a little too radical, a bit much. Now, what's more important is that same constitutional amendment, Amendment 4, actually would allow abortion right up to the 8th or 9th month,
That is
which
correct.
I'm really opposed to. I think most reasonable Americans are opposed to, but that's not the part they focus on, of course, in the media. They don't focus on that part. But those two constitutional amendments are designed to bring out voters who are Democrats, who are more likely to be Democrats. They may be surprised on the marijuana vote because I know a lot of libertarians who are voting for it. Some of them who initially were not pro-Trump, but who will now vote for President Trump because they see the stakes in this election. But at the same time, they're going to be voting yes for legalization. One of the reasons for that is here in Florida, we have medicinal marijuana, but the system is so bureaucratic, so cumbersome, so expensive, so highly technical, so limited in terms of whether. Let's say I have depression or a bad back. I'm not allowed to get medicinal marijuana for those purposes, even with a prescription from my doctor. That's a perfect example. So Florida is going to be much, much closer than people think. I do think Trump will win. We now have a million voter advantage over the Democrats in registration. This is historic. This is unbelievable. But again, anybody sitting at home watching X-22 thinks this is over, that Trump's got it locked up, is going to win in a landslide. I hate hearing that. It's going to be a landslide. If you go back and look at Reagan in 1980, he did win solidly. It wasn't really a landslide. We remember it as a landslide, but it wasn't really a landslide. And it also broke late for him. And let me address that.
Okay.
If you look at the latest polling, and you got to look at all of it, you can't look at any one poll. You got to look at all of the polls that use decent methodology. Both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris tend to be underwater, meaning a larger number of people have an unfavorable view than a favorable view of them. Her unfavorable ratings have been skyrocketing. Every single day, they're up a couple points. Presidents are constant. In fact, last night, for the first time, I saw a reputable nationwide survey, and he was 52% positive, 40%, 46% unfavorable, or I should say 52% favorable, 42% unfavorable. Never seen that before. That's a very, very good sign. And I checked the methodology. So, but then when you go to the question of which candidate is better to bring down inflation, which candidate is better to bring down gasoline prices, which candidate has a better chance of solving the war between Iraq and Russia and ending it? Which candidate can be counted on to close the border? Trump solidly outpoints her in every category, usually in the mid to low 50s, with her in the high 30s, low 40s. It's exactly what we saw with Reagan and Jimmy Carter. Reagan was a very polarizing figure. He had a very substantial unfavorable, but when it came to who better would do the job, voters chose Reagan. And it's why those late undecideds, of which there are very few, I think will break for Trump.
So why do you think right now, like Kamala, she's not campaigning anymore? I mean, if she's, if her poll numbers are dropping, wouldn't you be out on the campaign trail trying to boost yourself up? But it seems like she's now retreating a little bit. And actually, Trump mentioned that in, I think, one of his rallies, saying, you know, let's talk about your health. If you suffer from any type of daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are natural, and we all are searching for an effective way to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank. We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally. And that's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media as he unveiled a natural pain reliever that is taking the world by storm. Yes, I'm talking about Conilodyne, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this, Conilodyne has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. It was so powerful, it was used even exclusively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this. Clint explains how Conilodyne is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age. When taking daily, your body will fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. And let me tell you, I was skeptical, but it works. I've tried virtually everything and I have not felt this great in years. It's like all my daily aches and pains just faded away. My back, neck, joint, muscles all feel great and renewed. Best of all, Conilodyne does not make you feel the least bit groggy or drugged up. I feel great, alert, focused for the day ahead. And the best news, Conilodyne has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. Hear me when I say this, Conilodyne is absolute the future of pain relief. So if you're dealing with pain, make sure to click on the link below and check out Clint's amazing informative report on 100% America-made Conilodyne. This innovation is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at 1/10 the cost of pain pills. Now here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only Conilodyne product in the world for less than $1 per day. The private link and discount will stay active until midnight. Try Conilodyne risk-free for a full 90 days. You have nothing to lose. You are days away from finally beating pain forever. Go to trykono.com/x22 now and see for yourself. She's not out there campaigning. Does she know something we don't know? So is something happening within the campaign for Kamala?
Well, it's either good or it's bad. On the one hand, she has nothing to say.
Well, we know that.
Her whole message is 100% negative. Trump is Hitler. Trump will mobilize the military against the American people. Trump, I love this one. Trump will lock up his political enemies, what they've been trying to do to him for the last year and a half, exactly what they've been trying to do to him. That Trump keeps attacking the enemy within. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but we do have an enemy within. Just yesterday, we learned that a high-level State Department official whose boss in the State Department was already suspended based on suspicion that he was leaking to the Iranians, a woman who worked at the State Department leaked all of Israel's invasion plans, or I should say attack plans on Palestine to the Iranians. And she's still there. She should have been fired a year ago. She's been being watched. She's been identified in the media. I would tell you her name, but I can't pronounce it. Tabi or something like that.
That
is an enemy within. That's exactly what they are, what we have here. I think we recognize that the Chinese have systematically infiltrated every strata of American society. They bought some of our biggest and best known public companies. They are buying up hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acreage across the country. They're buying our real estate with an emphasis of buying real estate near sensitive military facilities. They are donating to academic institutions. They're buying their way in there. Remember, Joe Biden was pulling down a cool $1 million a year from the University of Pennsylvania for a no-show teaching job that he never once showed up for. And where did that money come from? Well, it was funneled through the university from China. Yeah, I think we do. We have Chinese police stations across the country. There's one in every major city where they spy on their own citizens. So, yeah, we do have an enemy within. These are the people, by the way, who called us deplorables. Mm-hmm. These are the people who said that if you were a Catholic, as I am, and you went to the Catholic Mass, or that you were pro-life, you're a domestic terrorist. This is unbelievable. The other day, I'm sure you saw this, Tulsi Gabbard, who I think is a great woman, a great leader, someone with a great future, Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve, served her country in combat in both Iraq and Kuwait, four-term Democrat congresswoman, vice chairman of the Democrat Party, until she concluded that her party's become the party of war. It's become the party of censorship. It's become the party that wants to suspend our civil liberties. She became a Republican. That is, I think, great news. But remember, it was only roughly months ago that we learned that after she criticized Kamala Harris in a speech, they put her on a secret TSA domestic terrorist watch list. So whenever she travels, she's being spied on. Mm-hmm. Whenever she's on an airplane, there's four federal agents on the plane following her. She's a former member of Congress. She's not a domestic terrorist. She's an American citizen. And there's still been no answers as to what justifies putting her on that list.
Well, I think we understand that anyone that's against them, if you turn against them, they either call you a racist now, or they spy on you and they try to bring you down with, you know, whatever they can create, because most of the stuff they create is all garbage. It's all made up, and they just want the headlines out there. And that's pretty much what they do. But as we approach the elections and you're saying Trump's going to win, I mean, I don't think they're just going to go down and say, okay, you know, go down easy. I don't think they're just going to say, okay, let's just let Trump win. He'll be president. Everything will be fine. Everything will be great. I think that's what everyone believes is going to happen. They're just hoping that, you know, we have the elections, he's the winner, and then America is saved. But to me, I see them as criminals. I see them not giving up. They don't want to give up power. They definitely don't want to go to jail. There's other ways of creating events where they can distract certain things. But how can they actually stop him from, even though he wins, how do they stop him from winning?
Here, I think, is the key. First of all, I totally agree with you. They're not going to just let him return to power, because some of them who engaged in treason during the Russia hoax, during the Ukraine hoax, they rightfully fear prosecution because they should be prosecuted. No, it's not revenge. It's not revenge. It's just that everyone should be treated equally under the law. They indicted me. They stormed my home at 6 o'clock in the morning. They destroyed me financially. They relentlessly pressured me to turn on Trump and testify against him and to make up some story about coordinating with WikiLeaks and the Russians. It was all BS.
Yeah.
I mean, I took three separate lie detector tests administered by the same company that does the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the FBI. When they use polygraphs, and by the way, they, even though they're not admissible in court, they use them all the time for job applicants and so on. So it's very clear that they will try to crush anyone who gets in their way. And they're going to try to make the case already. They're laying the groundwork for the idea that perhaps it was even the Iranians who interfered in our election. I'm sure you've seen the story about the Iranians allegedly hacking individuals who were involved with Donald Trump. I saw the indictment that was put out by the Justice Department of two Iranians who, of course, have left the country and will never go to trial. And in that indictment, I'm victim number 10, meaning it is alleged that somebody hacked into my personal email for the purpose of sending outgoing emails from that platform that looked like they came from me, but included a malicious link that, if you clicked on it, would give whoever's doing this access to the campaign's computers. I have no evidence that that happened. I have no evidence that that happened. I do know that the documents that were allegedly stolen in this manner, which somebody tried to peddle to Politico and the Washington Post, I haven't seen the documents, obviously. They didn't come from me, but they tell us what they're about. They're supposedly about J.D. Vance and come from the time in which they were vetting various candidates. But I have no proof that that happened. Maybe it did. The Iranians, sure, they would have motive to try to kill Trump. They would certainly have motive to try to harass his campaign. But they've laid this groundwork. My greatest single fear remains the same, and that is they've tried to shoot him twice. I think we have a cover up of both of those. I mean, it reminds me of the Kennedy assassination. They hose out the limousine in which Kennedy is killed within an hour of his murder, just like the FBI goes to the roof of the building in Butler, Pennsylvania, and they hose it down because why? I don't think they want any DNA. They don't want any retrievable DNA because then you could prove beyond a shadow of doubt that the man they claim, Thomas Matthew Crooks, is the shooter. They say he is. I'm not still fully convinced. See a picture of him on the phone. Who's he talking to? Got to be talking to someone. And now here's the best part. Apple says they will not turn over the information from his telephone. Now, when they arrested me, Apple was more than happy to give Robert Mueller all my phone records like that. Didn't even need a subpoena. Just send a request. But when the San Bernardino shooter killed multiple people, the FBI refused to give the police or the FBI the data from his telephone, saying it would set a serious precedent, a troubling precedent. So I just like in the situation in the murder of Kennedy, I wrote a book on this, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. I see the same pattern, the Secret Service standing down, the immediate move to pin this on one guy, despite what other witnesses saw. There cannot be this many honest mistakes. We now know that a counter-government sharpshooter has the shooter, let's call him Crooks, in his sights. He sees him pointing a rifle at the President of the United States. He has been seen earlier using a range fire. Why would you take him out? Why would you wait until he gets off the first volley of eight bullets and then kill him? That's, I think, extraordinarily suspicious.
And to your point is, yes, they power washed the roof. They also cremated his body. I mean, an
Yes.
ongoing investigation that you're investigating, someone took a shot at the President of the United States. Why would you remove all the evidence? It makes no sense unless they're behind it. So going back to the Iranians who hacked you and the assassination attempt, actually there were two assassination attempts. Do you really think it's the Iranians? Do you really think these people are working alone? Or do you think it's the people within our government? FBI, DOJ, CIA, you name it.
The answer is I don't know. First of all, I don't think the Russians are interfering with our election. That they're trying to recycle that one again
Oh,
with
yes.
no evidence. The Iranians have motive. I think we have to admit that. Trump had them on the verge of bankruptcy. The sanctions he put in place were so harsh, nobody would buy their oil. Not even the Chinese would buy their oil. And China's their biggest ally. China's their pate, you know, their patron. Biden comes into office, he immediately cancels the sanctions, and we hand over first 100, then $190 billion to the Iranians. What do you think they're going to do with that money? Well, before they got the money, they say they'd use it for humanitarian purposes. Once they got the money, they say, we'll use this money for whatever we want. It's our money. And what did they do with it? They subsidize Hamas, they subsidize Hezbollah. This guarantees the attack on Israel on October 7th. This guarantees that they restart their nuclear weapons development program. Military experts that I talk to, that I respect, tell me they believe that the Iranians already have a nuclear device. It's primitive, may not be deliverable, but they already have it. I'm not sure, you know. Given these policies, what they expect. Barack Obama thinks that a strong Iran somehow provides stability in the region. It makes no difference whatsoever. Yeah, I think there will be an effort. Jamie Raskin, who's the most odious member of Congress, father was a communist. He's probably a communist. If he's not, he's cheating the party out of their dues, I think. These guys have no intention of letting Donald Trump return, no matter how big he wins. So there'll be some kind of effort to either challenge the results on their part. The irony of this, if you think about it, when Trump objected to the certification in 2020, they charged him with a crime. They say that's illegal, but now they admit that that's exactly what they have planned. And nobody will be prosecuted for that, that I can assure you. So, you know, look, we have to pray, first of all, for the safety of the president. If you ask me, what's my number one concern right now? My number one concern is that they're going to shoot his plane out of the sky. That's my number one concern. I think trying to shoot him again would be kind of obvious. The second shooter, Ryan Routh, they've just announced that his trial has been postponed indefinitely.
Yeah.
In other words, they're never going to present the evidence of him in an open courtroom. They say there's so much evidence we could never get through it all. Here's a guy who's supposedly indigent. Here's a guy who can't make his child support payments. This is a guy who's broke. How is he flying to Iran? How is he flying to Ukraine? How's he flying to all these other European countries? How's he paying for the websites in which he's trying to recruit mercenary soldiers to fight in Ukraine? The national security apparatus, the CIA, the FBI, they know exactly who he is, and they don't want to tell us because he's known to them, and he's quite possibly an asset.
So when you say that they won't try to shoot him, but they'll shoot his plane down, you're saying using a missile?
Well, you know, many years ago, when I was a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., one of my clients were the freedom fighters in Angola. We supplied them with shoulder-launched Stinger missiles. They can take down a plane. This is not a – and that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Think how much more sophisticated the armaments are today. So shooting down a plane with a shoulder-launched missiles, not that difficult. Now, if that were, God forbid, to come to pass, who would investigate it? The FBI? The National Transportation Safety Board? Why would we believe what they said? These are the same people who told us for 2.5 years that the Russians had interfered in our election and that the Trump campaign had worked with them, which turned out, as you know, to be total nonsense, absolutely false.
So do you think that Trump and team, they got intelligence because they did request, I guess, military assistance? I think they were putting in a request. Do you think they maybe heard chatter about this?
Well, I think they got realistic about the dangers. I'm sure they had briefings from experts who pointed out that it seems to me his greatest vulnerability is when he's on his plane. So there's discussion. This may be happening. I don't know. They may be using decoy planes. They may be using unmarked planes. I do think that they're not being foolish about it. I've talked to the president fairly recently. I'm going to go to Madison Square Garden with him as his guest on Sunday. You know, his head's in a very good place. I mean, he's very serene. He's very calm. He really does believe that he has the armor of God. He really does believe that God saved his life in Butler. He really does believe that God is going to preserve his life to make America great again. He's in a terrific mood, as he should be. Mm-hmm. He's working very hard. Yeah, he's overtired. Unlike Kamala Harris, he actually campaigns.
Yes.
And the schedule he's keeping. You know, I'm younger than he is, and believe me, it would wear me out. So this is the other fake narrative. Trump's too old to be president. He's confused and so on. Donald Trump, on his worst day, is smarter and more lucid than Kamala Harris on her best day.
Roger, thank you very much for being on the X-22 Report Spotlight. If people wanted to see your show and your podcast, where should they go?
The best place to go is easy, stonezone.com. Stonezone.com will tell you how to see my daily Rumble show. shows on that site every day at 8 o'clock Eastern. Also on Sundays, I'm now doing a 3-hour all political syndicated radio show on 77 WABC radio in New York. But no matter where in the country you live, you just go to WABCradio.com, WABCradio.com, every Sunday from 3 to 6. And I think Tulsi Gabbard is going to join us this Sunday. Waiting for confirmation on that, but pretty sure it will happen. You know, I give it to you straight. Look, I am a Republican. I have a sentimental attachment to the old Republican Party of Eisenhower and Goldwater and Reagan and, of course, my mentor, Nixon, and Donald Trump. But also smart enough to realize that at the upper levels of the party, it's one big club. It's a globalist club. So I'm pretty candid on radio. I'm pretty candid in my show. I tell you what I really think. When Republicans are wrong, I'll tell you they're wrong. When Democrats are wrong, I'll certainly tell you when they're wrong. So I would love to have people go to stonezone.com. You can go to rumble.com/Roger Stone. Maybe download the Rumble app to your phone. Set a notification of yourself. That's every day at 8 o'clock Eastern, but really appreciate the opportunity to be back with you on X22. Watch your show religiously. You really bring the people the truth.
Hey, Roger. No, I'm honored to have you on, and thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the hard work that you do. I'm going to put all the links at the bottom of the video. Roger, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
God bless you, and have a great day.
Thank you.